Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Trio Podcast. I'm Bob.
I'm Joe.
And we got a fun one for you.
Yes.
Some new gaming news and that kind of stuff. We have a little show and tell action.
Yeah.
That may or may not be to the right of Joe.
Yeah, it may or may not be this giant hunk of thing right here.
We'll get into that and a whole lot of other fun stuff. So thanks for joining us. As always, you can check out our website, tabletoptrio.com, all the social medias and all that kind of stuff to see the behind the scenes action. And now, of course, as I'm saying this, I realized I forgot to actually post the picture of my box issues from last week. So
I saw it. It's bad.
It is. It's not great.
It looks like if a cat had its way with a room, that's what it would look like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it's a tall pile of boxes.
It is. Most of those boxes really don't need to be boxes anymore.
No, they don't. Like, looking at it right now, I see the old mixer from a former podcast that's still in the box. It's just way too big for me to use on my, like, normal day activities because it's a giant 16, 24 channel mixer.
Yeah.
That I literally have no need for anymore.
That was... I have so many of those in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
I have at least two little four channels. Then I have an 8x16 or an 8x8, which was like a rack mount.
Mm-hmm.
So it was thin. It didn't have any controls or anything like that because it was all supposed to be digital. So you plug it into the USB of a computer, and then your mixer is basically on the computer.
Yeah.
God knows where it is. I haven't seen it in years, Bob. It's been a year. I don't know if it's just somewhere lost in my basement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's at my parents' house, lost in their attic. Like, I know it exists. Mm-hmm. I know I bought it. Couldn't tell you where it is.
Yeah, in that pile, in the picture, I see at least two, maybe even three boxes for monitors.
Yes, I saw those.
A box for the pedals that I bought for my sim setup.
Right.
A bunch of NASCAR diecast boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, although well, that, those do
back,
helpful,
right?
Because they'll fit back in the box and moving, shipping, if I decide to sell any of them.
Yeah. Well, isn't that like
it's good to have the box.
Isn't that like the market for those? Like you put them in the box and that's like a display thing. Because, like, the plastic and whatnot.
For some people. I mean, for me personally, I'd like to have it out and have it, like, looked at and viewed and all that. Because, at least for me, when I collect diecast, it's the race wins. Or, like, important race wins or different things like that.
Right.
Because some of the ones I have, like, I have a couple, like, my former favorite driver before he went off the deep end and went absolutely insane was this guy, Matt DiBenedetto.
Mm-hmm.
They called him D-Burrito for a while and then hated the nickname. So he changed it to just his middle name, which is Guido. and just fell off the deep end, like went crazy in his head, like total head case. Every place every team he left, he blamed someone else and not him. And the last like two or three teams that he drove for, all were like, yeah, you're gone. Get out. Like, but it's someone else's fault. Always.
Every time.
So I have like two of his cars. I have like a couple like Bubba Wallace, like raced win diecast and that kind of thing. And they actually, what's cool about that is the people from Lionel who make trains do a shitty job at making race cars, but they're the only ones.
Not surprised.
But they actually have a photographer go in and take pictures and like detail pictures of all of the car, of like every single angle of the car, and then put that damage onto the diecast.
Oh, that's cool.
Which sometimes it's really cool. Sometimes it's really not that great.
I didn't know Lionel made anything other than train stuff because, and even now I don't even think they are Lionel anymore. I believe they're owned by a Chinese company now.
They probably are.
And because they were North Carolina or Jersey first, then North Carolina.
They're still in North Carolina.
Kind of.
Well, they're, yeah. their main U.S. Right. shop, at least, is.
But I think everything now is coming from China. And there is, at least in the train world, there is like a clear split where the stuff from, I think it was 2008 or something like that. Anything before that is what like people want.
Yep.
And then anything after that, it's just not as good.
Perfect example. That exact split happened in racing too.
Mm.
Before like 2008, I have a couple. And they have three different grades of car. It's like Premier, Elite, and something else.
Mm.
The Elite is like super heavy detailed, like all like opening hood, opening rear deck lid. The roof flaps are all like working and like all that. The regular version really isn't that good, but from pre-2007, still great.
Right.
Nowadays, the Elite version
mm-hmm.
is about as good as the not Elite version from the early 2000s.
Got ya.
And the not Elite version now is just like, well, the hood will open up and you have the roof flaps.
That's it.
Generic inside chassis, you know, plastic everything.
Yeah.
And now with NASCAR having like a flat bottom on their cars, it's just a flat bottom.
But with the Elite, no detail at all.
With the Elite, you can actually take off the diffuser and look at the detail underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have like independent suspension and like actual springs in the suspension, all that. It was awesome. Now it's not great.
Mm.
I might actually bring a couple diecasts in next week to be like, all right, here's the difference. Now take a look.
Yeah, I would show you some trains, but all of my trains are way pre-2008. I think the newest one I got, and I'm going to put new in quotes, new to me, was my Southern Crescent,
mm-hmm.
Which I ran for Christmas the first time. I like super grease it because it hasn't been run in like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's from 73. So
it's only a couple years old.
Yeah. Just a little.
One or two, you know. It's fine.
So, yeah, I only know old Lionel. Like, my dad only collects the older stuff, which is funny because I wanted to get into the newer stuff because now they have a thing, I think it's called DCC, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, where, like, old trains, press button, horn.
And yeah.
Some of them, if you pressed a secondary thing, it does like a whistle or something like that. You had two options. That was it. DCC gives you like a friggin' cell phone with just numbers, like a numpad, that the trains could have like hundreds of commands.
Oh, wow.
So they're like computers in the... My dad never touched it because, you know, he's the old... Yeah. Style, like, this is train.
Yeah, old school, this is train, train go in circles, happy. Yeah.
Make whistle, that's yeah. that. But me, computer, and still original, like, I like train circle. So I wanted to get into the DCC stuff, but my dad has no clue, even though it's been around since, like, the late 80s, just no idea.
Yeah.
And so that might be something once the basement is all done, I can get into, because it turns out N-Gage, those little guys,
mm-hmm.
They started making DCCs for those.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I could have everything. Because I love N-Gage.
I gotta bring you to, well, now it's my brother's house, but he has my dad's old train table in the basement. And it's really basic layout, but mm-hmm. he built it so it could be expanded.
Yeah.
And that was one of my things as a kid. I'm like, I fucking love this. Mm-hmm. This is the coolest thing ever, but I don't want to break it because I don't want to piss my dad off. So I'm not going to touch it, even though I really want to.
See, I think that was like my dad used to, when we did our old house before we finished the basement, he had like three full tables of like two sheets of plywood each. So it was like 20 something feet long by the 8 feet. That mm-hmm. was like the entire basement. And he had just six or seven train like tracks running.
That's so cool.
But he built that when we were already kids, because we moved into that house when we were already kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he built a bunch of stuff in to like facilitate liking trains. So like we had like the little milk car. So he would stop the car on this certain track like a certain piece, and then there would be a button here, and you press the button, and a guy like shoots out a milk crate into the little metal milk crates.
Yeah.
And like he had to load those, but we didn't know that.
No.
And then like, you know, you press a button over here and you know, like people spin around at the gas station or like the car goes around.
That's
and
so cool.
It was very interactive.
Yeah.
To like, oh, it's not just, you don't just look at it. You press buttons, it does things. Like mm-hmm. now you're hooked.
Oh yeah.
So once we did the basement, he shrunk it way down to like one plywood thing. And it was in like the storage room, which was mostly just a train room. There were trains literally everywhere. You couldn't store anything. It was just trains.
Yeah. I'm still saying we need to go to Northlands in Flemington.
Mm.
It's North America's largest indoor railroad.
So I was told to go there by my dad's best friend who owns, I can't tell you how many hundreds of trains. His entire basement is stacked to almost the ceiling in boxes of trains.
Nice.
A
man of taste.
Yes. He can't do anything else down there. It's just trains. And I have a problem with one of my newer trains. And he's like, oh, you got to bring it over there. I know the guy. Tell him. And I'm like, you would yeah. know the guy. And if I name drop you, I know he'll know you too, because you're probably always there.
Yeah, probably in the same circles.
Yeah. But I do want to go there because he said it's gigantic.
So I had the most accidental VIP tour of that place. So they were a sponsor at my job,
mm-hmm.
and we were told, okay, you're going to have an event on this day. So we get there, we show up, and I go, and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm with the radio station. We're here to set up. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, the event isn't until this day. And I'm like, but we're scheduled to be here today. He's like, well, here, let me show you around. And I'm like, all right, sure, why not? I'm getting paid to walk around. And,
right?
And he's like taking us through everything. And like, he's like, oh, let's go this way. He's like, this is an employees only area, but it's a bit of a shortcut. Let me show you where all the power is. Mm. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And like, there's like racks and everything. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, he's like, yeah, watch your step. Come on down here, climb through here. And I'm like, this place is massive.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's at one point, it's like a canyon scene where it's literally like 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
You need ladders, and then you also have to like Godzilla your way onto the layout if a train gets derailed or something like that. And there's just so much going on. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I think I was there 20-something years ago.
I think we need to have a podcast field trip.
I'm okay
where even if we don't go live, or you know, we could just reach out and be like, hey, we're a hobby podcast. but regardless, I feel like we need to go there just to like experience it.
Yeah, it's fun. I bought
4 a.m. watch this field trip.
we went to Liberty Science Center.
Oh, I love
that place. And they have a train display. It's not gigantic, but it is big, all things considered. Mm-hmm. And I bought, like, you know, wife was there, so I was like, well, we got to go there. I didn't even know this existed. So we walk through, and, like, you get, like, that smell that you can only get from model trains running. It's, the motors and the grease or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such, like, a homey smell.
It's comfort smell.
Yeah, like, even if you've never smelled it before, if you smell it, you're just like, this is cozy. I don't know how else to explain it, but even my wife was like, wow, there's so much detail, like the buildings and the river and this, and they had birds and shit like on the scene, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, really a lot, and they had like the story of, you know, how it started and this and that, and it was basically not even supposed to be that complicated. It was supposed to be like this nice, small track, and then the guy just went off building this insane, way too many detail,
as is tradition.
And I was like, yeah, that checks out. That completely checks out.
Yeah. Well, Franklin Institute has something not similar at all. or they used to. They used to have a full-blown train exhibit where it was a full-on steam train and train car, like, in the museum.
Love that.
When I went last, that exhibit was closed for renovations. And I'm like, oh, man, because as a kid, I loved climbing all over the train because you can climb in there and, like, pull on, like, the horn and, like, see the boiler and everything there. And, oh, my God, that was so much fun. And I was, I'm not going to lie, I was slightly disappointed that it wasn't open when we went the last time.
Yeah, I am all about random train
things.
Like, whenever we go out to Pennsylvania in a certain direction, there is a diner off of, I think it's the Parkway, that has one of the Blue Comet tenders just, and you can eat in there. And I'm like, every time. Okay. Every time we go,
we're eating in the train car.
We're eating in the train car.
We, there's two places. When I was a kid, my family every now and then would stay at Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's got the railroad and the indoor railroad model, all that kind of stuff. But they have the real life trains there too. There used to be a hotel, or I guess a motel. I don't know if it still exists, but it was the Red Caboose Motel. And all of their rooms were train cars. And each room was its own caboose. As a kid, that was the coolest freaking thing.
Right?
Like, here's this giant train car, and you get to stay the night in it. I don't know if the place still exists. I really hope it does.
I hope.
And there was another restaurant near us. I forget the restaurant, but it was in, like, Yardville, Mercerville, New Jersey area. That was just a bunch of train cars. That was the it wasn't really a diner per se, but it was on an old offshoot, like literally like the train would or the train tracks used to cross Route 130. Those obviously got discontinued, but there was a little offshoot that these cars were parked on, and you could sit there and watch the train, the freight trains go by every now and then to the old factories, and you'd just be sitting in there eating dinner. And there's like a regular restaurant area, and then there's inside the train cars area.
Yeah, I'm all about
loved
that.
That as a kid.
It's my favorite thing. There are, I found out in Pennsylvania, we stopped at a rest stop and they had like the wall of pamphlets. And while my wife was at the bathroom, I'm looking at the pamphlets and I was like, any of these good? And then I started looking. I was like, oh, Pennsylvania, they're old school. They still have like trains and shit. So I started looking. And I just started pulling every pamphlet that had a train on the cover of the pamphlet. And she comes back out from the bathroom, and I just have, like, a stack of pamphlets. She's like, what are those? And I was like, nothing. But, like, it turns out you could do, they still have, like, steam engine things that you could book. And they do, like, spring, fall, watch the leaves fall, watch, you know, snow and this and that. And I was like, man, I would love to go because they even have like the dining car and the whatever car. It depends on how fancy you want to be. They have the open cars. And I was like, I just want to go to Europe and go to like one of the trains that's just like, you know, 3 days long and you get your little booth. And
my dad had said when he sells his business, the first thing he's doing is getting two tickets for the Orient Express and just taking a scenic train ride. Somewhere in Europe, he's like, I don't care where, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because part of me is like, you know what? I kind of want to just buy him like one of those local scenic train rides for like birthday, Christmas, whatever.
Yeah.
Just to be like, here, go ride your train.
Yeah.
Go look at the pretty leaves.
Here's a preview.
I would love to join you, but like probably going to have to work. So,
Yeah, it's one of those things I've been wanting to do. I saw there's like the trip around U.S. All rail, and it's not, well, at least it wasn't that much money. I don't know how much it is now, but like you could just basically jump from rail to rail, never touching a car.
Oh, that's cool.
And hit every state in the U.S. in a train. And I was like, that'd be fun.
That's so cool.
It seems like if you miss one, you're going to have a bad time, but it could be fun. It's not fast at all.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty slow moving, but you know, it's an experience. It's something different.
So it looks like the Red Caboose Motel is still a thing.
And now I have a place to go.
And it's out in near Stroudsburg, PA. So Northeast PA-ish.
Ish.
Give or take.
Great. You gave me a thing that now I have to go to.
I'm very interested to see. It's not Northeast PA. It's Lancaster County.
Oh.
Okay. So like central-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the restaurant, you're literally dining in a 1920s train car.
Mm. Oh, that's a bigger dining room, too.
Mm-hmm. They have the hotel accommodations.
It just, at first you're like, wow, that's pretty roomy, all things considered. Because I don't even think you could fit a bed wall to wall. Like, you know, wall to wall.
Let's get a queen size bed.
No, sir, you're getting a...
You'll maybe get a double.
You get a single on that side, and you get a single on that side. And then you meet in the middle with the 1.5 feet of extra space. Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you get one that has the little lookout box, so you can have bunk beds.
I was looking at a trailer to rent for Ion this year.
Oh.
And a lot of the ones that hold like 5 to 6 people do have bunk bed areas. And part of me is just like, I know I'm renting this, so like I would sleep in the queen bed with Elena. But also, this is a bunk bed.
It's like, when was the last time I could sleep in a bunk bed?
Yeah, when was the last time I could be in a bunk bed? Yeah. So, like one of my friends was talking to, because we were going to, like, you know, multifamily, just way cheaper to just have a couple people chip in and rent it. And she's like, oh, this is great. All the beds, like the couch folds out into a bed, and then like the dining area goes down, and then you put cushions there, and then like that's a bed. So it's like beds everywhere, kind of. And she's like, oh, this is great. It might not be big enough to sleep both of us. And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, well, you know, he drinks a lot and he stays up late and everything. So it'd be great to be like, oh, I guess you got to go sleep over there in that bed alone.
Oh, no.
And I was laughing, but now I'm like, but the bunk beds, the bunk beds are great beds. You even get a little window to look out.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I don't know. We were gearing up because it's Ion season officially.
I've seen the Facebook notifications.
Yes. We're getting ready to place jersey orders and the whole nine.
One of these years, I'm going to join you guys.
You should. It's fantastic. Ion is the Invasion of Normandy. It's a paintball trip out in Bumblefuck, Pennsylvania. And it's a 3-day event. We camp the 3 days. It started camping. Now it is full-fledged glamping. And this year, if we do RVs, it is beyond glamping. But it is so fun. It's like our yearly big thing. We didn't do it last year. So this is like the come-up year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
But we're looking to get new jerseys for our paintball team. Paintball team. It's really just our group of friends team. It's Team Banana. And
plastered all over my car. If you're one of the one of my YouTube viewers,
yes. So that's going to be. We got all new jerseys. I got them all like professionally.
That's awesome.
Done, and they look phenomenal.
They look so good.
And then the company was like, "Oh, we released a new pack," and I was like, "Oh, what's the new pack?" And they were like, "Well, we're not just doing the jerseys now. You get a bunch of other stuff." And I was like, "What kind of other stuff?" And now it's like t-shirts, which makes sense. And then they were like track suits. And I was like, hold on, time out.
Oh, no.
And I was like, just like a track suit. And they were like, no. It's got like Team Banana across the bottom. And then like the back calf is like your color combo. And like, these are custom designed track suits. And I was like, oh, good God. And then they were like hoodies, beanies, socks. And I was like, oh, God, Team Banana socks.
Just bananas.
Yeah. So I am going in. I already told everybody, and I talked to Dish, and I was like, I don't know what everybody else gets, but I'm getting Team Banana Socks 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And the bandana and the beanie and the shirt and the tracksuit and everything else that comes with it. I need it.
That's so cool.
They were like, do you want Team Banana Boxers? And I was like, maybe.
Because part of me is sitting there and I'm like, all right, I don't think I'm going to be going to Ion right away. Mm-hmm. So maybe I won't do the jersey this year. Maybe I'll do it some other time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, but they are technically a sponsor of my iRacing. And my team that I race for is Team Banana.
Yeah.
So if you watch any of the TNR races and like they have like my stats, it'll say what team I drive for, for Team Banana.
I mean, hey, you could get a jersey. They were actually relatively cheap if you just get the jersey. And then you can go there. Because I think once we get this design like through, mm-hmm. I think this is the design for like the next probably 4 or 5 years. And then we just hold on to that for like, you know, until it gets boring enough that everyone's like, we've beaten the shit out of everything. We need new jerseys.
Yes. Let's get more jerseys like now.
Yeah, and then we'll, you know, and then we get a redesign and we go back. But
the retro throwback jerseys 1 year.
Right, we do the retros, which we do actually have retros at this point. I think we've done 3 iterations of jerseys. The first, okay. The original was very obviously black and yellow.
Of course.
And then I think the second one was a different version of black and yellow. And then I did the third iteration, which was the green, blue, and mm-hmm. something else with our Team Banana with a new banana. And now we have the fourth iteration, which is like the magenta.
Which is such a great color scheme. Yeah. It's like magenta, like a bluish teal.
Yeah. And then like the banana, which they redesigned our logo, which I thank them for because we were using very old like paintball markers and stuff. And they updated the logo with like brand new like paintball guns and stuff. I was like, yes, this looks so good.
I'm literally obsessed with the logo. Just it's you have to take a look at it because it's just a smirking, grinning banana with hands.
Yes.
And like holding the paintball guns, just like, hey.
It's fantastic. And it's funny. Me and my friend were looking at it. I was like, they modeled them with auto cockers. And I was like, that's great. He's like, no one shoots auto cockers. I was like, how dare you? I have an auto cock. 1, because the name is hilarious. And 2, is because it's an old school style gun.
I think my favorite paint scheme that I ever did was I took the car that I was driving and then just placed, plastered Team Banana logos all over it,
mm-hmm.
and then took a paint splatter brush and then just went hog wild on the template and just like click, 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 click everywhere to make it look like my car got like shot up with paintball guns,
mm-hmm.
with like all the different colors. And even I actually left all of the current logos or the former logos on the car and just like literally just like splattered the Team Banana stuff on top of my old logo.
It's like we sticker bombed it.
Yeah. That not even, it's like I designed it to make it look like I drove through the middle of Ion.
Mm.
So I put a little bit of brown by the tires for like the mud and dirt, but the rest was just like pink and teal paint splatters with like the little like brush of it, like splatter effects and everything.
If only you could model a branch still on the back.
I probably could just take like a picture of a branch and just like drop it on.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. Nailed it.
When we get closer, I might do that again. Just as a quick, like, there we go.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, a couple of my cars need some paint schemes. I might make a Team Banana.
I can update one for you.
But, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like this season starts to come up and then you're like, yes, 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 yes. It's time. It's almost time.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the adrenaline you get is insane.
Oh yeah.
From 5,000 ish people, all shooting just at the same exact
screaming
second.
And
Yeah, it's a wild feeling.
I have to go one of these years because it just sounds like so much fun. I hate camping, but doing it the way you guys do it, I could probably survive.
Camping.
I could probably survive.
We have.
I'm not the most outdoorsy person, if you couldn't tell.
We order a porta potty, mm-hmm. so we have our own bathroom. We surround our tent. We have three giant, actually, it's probably four or five now, like ease-up tents that are like 12 by 12s. I think two of them are 12 by 20s. So we have like two of those, mm-hmm. plus the other ones. We have the grills, the flat tops, the barbecues, fridges, generators. Like, we, by no means.
You are not roughing it.
The only thing we use ice for is beer. That's it. We have a cooler full of ice and beer. Everything else is refrigerated.
Yes. It's the way so it damn should be.
We bring a 55-gallon drum of fresh water, and we use that for showering. Mm-hmm. Like, it is...
It's the way you got to do it.
It's great. We bring inflatable... Three years ago, we bought inflatable couches. It's like, why not?
Right?
I found a rocking folding chair, like a rocking, like, portable...
Oh, yeah.
...thing.
It's like those camping chairs, but it rocks, right?
Yeah, so it still expands and goes back to, like, a little thing. And then there's little feet on the bottom that, like, flip down and click out. I've never been more comfortable in a chair after paintballing for several hours, mm-hmm. and then just eating and grabbing a beer and sitting down in is essentially just like a beach chair, but like a little taller. And then remembering that you could just rock back and forth, I was like, oh, we ain't lasting long, boys. If I keep this up, you're not going to hear from me in like 15 minutes.
Y'all ain't eating tonight because I am chilling.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be sleeping.
Well, speaking of events, we are officially 6 weeks out from the Boston Sauce Party.
Yes.
I cannot wait.
It's
the room is booked. So we got that officially, going for us.
We're there.
We're only like a 15 to 20 minute drive from the place. So we don't have to worry about like half an hour in traffic on the highway. Yeah. It's literally just like back streets.
Unfortunately, we're not sleeping on the houseboat.
Yeah. Did not go for the houseboat.
I was so interested.
Truly,
if it was a little less money, because the problem for me was that it was expensive.
It was probably going to be close to like $700.
Yeah.
And for two nights... And it really only slept like two people.
Yeah, it wasn't like
like you probably could have gotten away with like sharing beds and have four people, but it wasn't going to be conducive. And one of them was just a couch that they're like, oh yeah, you could sleep on the couch.
Yeah, exactly like 4AM says. A houseboat would have made it an interesting video, but you'll be busy with the festival.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, if I was going to Boston just to go to Boston, I'd... Like, if it was me and I was going for like a work thing, yeah, fuck Hell me yeah. up. I'm sleeping on the houseboat.
Yeah, I'm asleep on the boat. Imagine how great of a sleep you would be getting.
Oh my. Well, I know exactly how, because when I went to Poland, the hotel we stayed in was on the bay. Like, it was like a lake, whatever it was. And the hotel had like four or five barges that were actually floating in the bay. And one of our rooms were just in one of the barges. So we went, and it's a cozy little room. It was probably about the size of like three quarters of this room. Mm-hmm. And then it had like an upper area where the bed was and the air conditioner. And that was it. Yeah. It was a tiny room. And Elena went and laid in the bed. I've never seen her fall asleep that fast before. She's like, it's the gentle rocking. I was gone. I was like, I've never seen you fall asleep that fast before. Mm-hmm.
There's something about the motion that will put me to sleep. So I probably would have been able to sleep anywhere on that. But the fact that it was like $700+.
Yeah. And we wouldn't
for have a time we wouldn't be in the room.
That's the thing. We wouldn't have been there that long. If it was if we were there more and we were doing stuff more, then I would have been like, yeah, this makes sense. At least we would be walking right to the thing. It was so close.
Yeah.
But like I wanted to get a room where we could cook food like we did last year because I liked making like the breakfasts and stuff like that. Like, you know, it while I'm in Boston, we're already spending Boston budget. I don't feel like Grubhubbing and all that every night for $70 to $90.
Yeah.
I love last year. We went to a Trader Joe's we just randomly found.
It was around the corner.
It was around the corner. We're like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go to Trader Joe's. And we just picked up random shit and made a meal.
Yeah.
But that's like some of my favorite things to do is just, what do they have? Let's make something.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah. And I feel like it would have been better to do that as opposed to getting like a hotel room because we were toying with it. And it's like, all right, do we get the hotel room, but we don't really get a kitchen unless we do a suite. And if we do a suite, we're going to be paying more than what we'd be paying if we just got an Airbnb that's a whole house or whole apartment.
Yeah, I found one hotel that was cheap that had a kitchen area. But also, it looked straight out of 1965.
Ooh.
And the reviews kind of said it. They're like, yeah, it's got a bed. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, because I at the same time I was doing the Airbnb, looking at that for us, I was also looking at hotels because my girlfriend and I are going to Baltimore in end of May.
Mm.
So I'm on like the Hilton website because I get the points and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I wound up getting a room for us. We're going to see a concert on like June, like literally end of May, beginning of June. I wound up getting the room for us there, wound up paying $250.
Not bad.
Because I had like 15,000 points to use between Pocono and my buddy's wedding. I had points. So they're like, oh, this is going to be, you know, $400. I'm like, all right, well, I have points. They're like, okay, $250 plus 10,000 points.
Mm.
And I'm like, I didn't know I had that many points. So fuck it. Let's go.
Hurt me.
So I did that. And I'm like, oh, I guess I should probably look up Airbnb stuff too. Because they were talking about it at work as like a whole other like thing about content creation. And I'm like, oh, why don't I do an article about the 7 weirdest Airbnbs in New Jersey? Hmm. Oh, I should probably look up Airbnbs for Boston. The Boston Hot Sauce Fest. Okay. And that was when I texted you. I'm like, hey, what about this one?
Yeah, that made sense. I know I looked up a handful before, but I was trying to go closer, and then they were more expensive, like way more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And then we didn't know if we had 2 people or 3 people or 4 people or 8 people. Mm-hmm. And we kind of figured all that out.
Yeah.
So...
so it looks like it's going to be the 3 of us with a surprise mystery guest that y'all haven't met yet.
Oh, yeah, no, haven't met him.
Unless you know us, then you've met him.
Yeah, no. That.
But if you're a viewer, you don't know him yet.
Yet.
We are going to bring him on, hopefully before the show to...
or maybe not.
Mystery.
We'll just leave him in the crowd. You guys will have to guess which one it is.
Secret third member.
Oh, what if he was... oh, man. If we were gooder at planning...
if we were gooder at planning...
we could have had him in the background of all of our previous videos our at places. And just had him there. Just figure it out.
Just random extra.
Yeah, just walking by.
Or we play with the ruse that he was actually in the background of all of our shows.
Just never on
YouTube. Just never on camera.
Yeah, never actually got to the camera. Yeah, that's going to be fun. I am super excited. I see they're starting to tease pictures and stuff like that. And
I'm just excited to be part of the podcasting festival.
Yeah.
That's going to be at the Hot Sauce Festival. Like, because we ran around so much our first time in Boston.
Oh, my God. I think... in the last hour and a half is where I was able to start tasting hot sauces.
Literally.
I think the first 30 something hours that we were there, it was just, can we do a recording? Can we record? Can we record? Mm-hmm. Can we get 15 minutes? Can we get 10 minutes? Can we get 5 minutes? Like,
yeah. Hey, can we do an interview real quick? Oh, do you want to taste the sauces? We'll be right back. I promise.
Yeah.
And then.
Yes, but.
Yeah. And then by the time the day ended, we're like, oh God, we have to try all these now. They're delicious. But we're so tired.
Yeah. Now I'm tired and I'm hungry. Because I was running around,
yeah,
and I just ate a bunch of hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
And then the next day, we get there on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, where's the full slice, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle died. Oh.
Oh, good.
Hey, can you guys actually run the media side of things for us today?
Yeah, could you run the entire thing? And I was like, huh?
But then we're just like, all right, this is our opportunity now.
Yeah.
So one of us stayed at the table.
Mom spaghetti.
Yeah. we that was one of the most fun events I think I've ever been a part of, like, in general.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Then the torrential rain on the drive home.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That was only slightly terrifying.
We no lie, we saw, like, three people crash.
Yeah,
it's
never good when you're driving and then you see oncoming headlights, but you're on the part of the road where you actually can't see the other side of the traffic. So that was just someone on the shoulder looking at you because they've spun that many times. And then there was the other part where I was like, Bob, the windshield wipers are going as fast as they could go, and I still can't see.
And then we hit the gas station with the broken gas pump.
Oh, that's
right. That wouldn't stop filling.
I was like, there's so much gas underneath my vehicle. I don't like this.
And I wasn't even there for it.
Yeah.
Like, I went into the rest stop. I'm like, all right, I got to hit the bathroom. I'm going to grab a drink, like a snack, something like that. And you come out, you're like, so I had a problem. And I'm like, oh God, great. Now what? And you tell me. I get in the car and I'm just like, yeah, it smells like gas inside the car. That's never a good thing.
But my shoes were super clean.
That's true. And they were probably clean enough to eat off of.
Right. Well, I mean, once you clean the gas off.
Hey, just put some hair on your chest. You'll be fine.
I have enough. I don't need more. In the chat, we have, you should start a mini series where you review random tables you encounter. Like, ah, yes, this is a great table for hobbies. 7 out of 10. At every Airbnb you stay at.
I love that idea. I feel like we need to do that now. Every event, every podcast, it's like, oh, this table, just a card table. 3 out of 10.
Yeah, this is a folding table. But it feels sturdy enough that I won't fly through it. 3.5 out of 10.
This will survive. This folding table will survive Buffalo Bills fans. 10 out of 10.
Oh my God. Someone's going to come up with that. I know some folding table company is gonna market that.
We're Bills proof.
Bill different.
Yes. And I feel like as a Dolphins fan, it's your duty to design said table.
As a Dolphins fan, we think you guys are idiots. Here, this table you can't jump through.
This one.
Enjoy your spleen.
Titanium center shaft folding table.
Could you imagine? Like, we've infiltrated the Bills. I'm wearing like a Bills jersey, but on the other side, it's a Dolphins jersey. You'd be like, we have infiltrated them.
Hey guys, come crash through my table.
Oh, this table's a piece of shit. You should jump through this table and just watch people fucking die.
Did you see the story where Bills fans started sacrificing one another to the pit?
What?
So the
what?
Bills
what?
The Bills are building a brand new football stadium outside of their current stadium.
Mm-hmm.
As of football season, there was just a giant hole in the ground.
Oh.
Bills fans got all, or the team got off to a pretty slow start.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, a group of fans was just like, wouldn't it be funny if we sacrificed you to the Bills gods? So somebody got thrown into the pit, and the Bills win.
Mm.
They did that for the rest of the season, and they won all those games. like all those home games. Allegedly, their last home playoff game, nobody got sacrificed, and they lost. To the point where the team had to be like, yo, stop throwing people in the pit. We get it, you like to light tables on fire. We get it, you and like to jump through them.
Yeah.
Stop throwing each other in the pit. Please, no human sacrifices on our property.
Yeah. Bills fans are built different, but like for all the wrong reasons. I mean, not that I could say not every football fan is like that, because the Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game, where the temperatures were like negative 35, had a Dolphins fan who decided, I don't need to wear a shirt or a jacket or anything else.
Who needs pants?
So he was, well, I think he had pants, but he didn't have any shirt on. Negative 30. Turns out, 10 people in that game, at least 10. 10 have been newsed.
Oh, God.
Had to go to the hospital for severe hypothermia. Of that, 70% of them, so 7, needed amputations.
It's not funny, but it's hilarious.
I mean, it is funny. It's how, like, hey, what happened to your arm? Oh, playoff game, 2023. Like, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Chiefs game. Oh, man, you were a football player?
No, just a stance.
No, just a fan.
Yeah, it turns out I didn't want to wear a jacket, so I didn't need that arm. Like, could you imagine?
Sadly, yes.
I was like, how? And then the guy was on the Facebook, because I'm in like the Dolphins fan group. He's like, if you see a guy with no shirt at the end zone, that's me. And everyone's like, enjoy your nipples while you have them.
Got fucking ice cubes now.
I really wonder what was amputated.
Right.
Like, they didn't say, which is like, to me, the saddest part, because I need to know how dumb and what got amputated.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know. I need to know.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of those questions where it's just awkward to be like, yo, so, what'd you lose? What'd they chop off of you?
Right? Like, could we get 7 of those 10 people? Like, could we get some news coverage? I need to know what they lost. I mean, unless, like, they send a picture and you're like, oh, okay, arm. Don't need to talk to you anymore. But, like, if a guy has all of his hands and all of his fingers and all of his legs, I need to know what you lost.
Yeah. Like, what was chopped off? Like, you missing a finger? Like, are you doing one of those, like, where you put, like, just the tips of your fingers in your pocket?
Yeah.
But in reality, that's all you have left?
Like, I
just, I feel like the extremities would be, like, the first to go. Like, your fingers, like, something like that before they take off your whole arm.
I would assume, but again, in negative 30 wind chills with no shirt on.
Yeah, that's you're just kind of asking for it at that point.
Like, any part of your body could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's any part. So, it's just, football fans are something else. And again, I'd like to say, this is why women live longer. Because I could damn near guarantee, with a 99.8% no doubt in my heart, all of those people were men.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not a single woman who went was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to wear a t-shirt. No.
No. Not at all.
Not at all. There's no way.
I mean, hell, the only regular season Eagles game I've ever been to was Christmas night in like 2017. So the year they won the Super Bowl against the Raiders. Freezing cold. I'm sitting there, like, I have like t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, Eagles jersey or hoodie, Eagles jersey on top of that, like heavy winter jacket, hat, gloves, scarf, whole nine yards. And I'm sitting there like dying with all of those layers.
And then there were the guys with like painted green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, the super fans that like their whole body's painted, like front row beating their chest. Ah! miss me with that.
Yeah.
I like sports.
Mm-hmm.
I like my team. There's a line.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those that says, oh, we need to win the Super Bowl this year.
No. I don't like referring to...
You don't work for the team.
That's I don't like
you're
when
not
people
on the team.
Refer to the team as we. I'm like, what part of the payroll are you on?
Yeah.
What show me one check. Show me anything. Yeah. If it's like a dollar with your name and like the football organization on it, I'll step off.
The only people that can say we are the shareholders of the Green Bay Packers.
Right, yeah, they're allowed to say we.
They are the only people that are allowed to say we. And that is a hill I am willing to die on.
Yeah, no, I don't like when people say we.
Like, when I used to work for the minor league hockey team in Trenton, I thought it was the weirdest thing saying we.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, we've got a game tonight. We're playing Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, technically. But it was still weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't play on the team, but I work for the team, and the team has a game, so like...
Yeah, but see, you work for the team, so that you worked for the team, you get a check from the team, you are part of we.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the janitor of one of these stadiums, you could say we. You get a check from the team.
Yeah.
I get that. All the workers, all the guys who work the concessions, all those people could say we. For the guys who are just like, oh, we need to draft this guy, and we need that, and we almost won on Sunday. You did nothing. Yeah,
you did nothing. You caught hypothermia and lost a finger.
Or
you didn't win or lose.
Or you sat in your family room and watched on your couch.
Yeah.
Like,
remote in one hand, Cheetos in the other.
It's a beer. It's always a beer.
Well, no, that's what that beer hat is for.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. I totally forgot about the beer hat.
Like,
yeah, no, that is one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to like sport fans and stuff is when they say we, because I'm like, nope, that's not it. That's not how words work.
Yeah. Like, I understand, oh, my boy's got to do better this year. Okay. You love the team. Even that's borderline, like.
Like, that's on the edge. Have you ever talked to him before? Just one time. Sending a Facebook message to him that he doesn't respond to or commenting on one of his posts doesn't count.
No, not at all. And the worst is those types of fans are always the diehards.
Oh, of course.
When I worked at a different radio station, we used to have professional sports shows almost every day of the week.
Mm.
Monday, we had an Eagles show. During football season, during baseball season, we had a Philly show. Wednesday, we had a Flyers show. Thursday, we had a football show. And each of those shows would have a current or former player at them.
Mm.
We would pack each restaurant with fans because they all wanted autographs.
Right.
And it was one of those things where it's just like, all right, we know the ones who are there to like collect the autographs. Like, we had one guy come in and he like had like an Eagle shirt and had every single guest that we had come on and sign the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. We had other people who'd have literally books of trading cards. Can you sign this? Can you sign this? Can you sign this? We had to implement a rule where it's one autograph per person.
Yeah.
So then that person came in with like five of his friends and would stand there and say, okay, you get this, you get this, you get this. And we're like, what do you need? He's like, well, it's one per person.
Mm.
And we're just like, oh, okay, fine. Those were always the one, man, we got to do better. You know, yeah. Oh, man, we got to do this. And they're talking to the players. And even then, the players are just like,
yup.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not that kind of fan. I can't do it.
No.
I don't have it in me.
No. And, I mean, even the responsibility of having to reach out directly to the players was freaking nerve-wracking. Like, I would actually have to text the players, like, their actual cell phone numbers to be like, hey, we have you as a guest on this show. What time can the limo pick you up? What's the best address to pick you up?
Mm.
And like 9 times out of 10, the players would never get back to me. And I'd just be like, hey, just following up, you know, Danny Briere, like, you know, all these like Flyers or Eagles players, Jake Elliott, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you helping? Yeah. And it would be, they would never get to me.
Do they just show up or?
They would finally get back to me like literally the last second. Mm. And I'd have to call the limo company and be like, all right, here's this. Here's his info. Pick him up at the practice facility. Like 9 times out of 10, they're just like, yeah, get me at the practice facility. All right.
Fair enough. I don't know. It's wild. I don't know. Every time I think about wanting to be famous, like I used to want to play football and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now I think about it now and I'm like, it's just so much. Everyone's like, oh, they get paid so much money to do so little. And I'm like, they work like 90 hours a week.
Yeah. Like, it's absolutely wild. Like growing up, I always wanted to be a NASCAR driver. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, how cool would that be? But I never got behind the wheel of a car. So like, mm-hmm. you know, but even now listening to different racing podcasts, the amount of shit these guys do is insane. Like even it's okay. I got to be in, you know, Boise, Idaho for a sponsor appearance. I got to be here for another sponsor appearance. We have team meetings on Monday. I have a simulator day on Tuesday, appearance Wednesday, appearance Thursday, appearance Friday, Saturday, you travel and you get to the track, mm-hmm. Sunday, you race and you do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 weeks off,
yep.
within the season, and then you have 5 weeks until the Daytona 500.
Yeah, it's
actually more like 7, but still, like
it's the schedules that these guys have is insane. Even the amount of work that they have to do, I was football players aren't smart. Like after every game, they have to go watch that footage for several hours and break down every single play for every single player. And what went right or wrong each play.
Yeah.
The games are 3.5 hours for you to watch live. Now imagine that, but like, you know, you have to pause every play mm-hmm. and figure out what happened first for the offense, then for the defense.
Yeah.
Then collectively, and then what you could change.
Yeah.
Next play. Like, it's insane. And then they have practice and gym and more practice and different practice and training.
And community events and charity events
right.
and, you know, other commitments that they have.
Yeah.
Like we actually had to change the timing of the one football show every year because certain players were part of like a study group or like, or not a study group. It was like, it was some kind of like either Bible study like group or some kind of book club that the team had.
Huh.
So, and like half the team was a part of it. So we actually had to move the show. Because all the players that we were trying to get
were
all a part of that group. So they'd be like, oh, hey, sorry, I can't. I have book club.
I can't imagine.
Like, which was the craziest thing yeah. that, like, these big, burly football players just like, sorry, we have book club. I can't.
Yeah. I can't imagine a 6'7", 330-pound defensive tackle being like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make 5 o'clock. I have a book club for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's literally what it was.
I can't imagine it.
It's absolutely insane that, but then you're just like, all right, well, they're real people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they have hobbies outside of the thing they get paid to do.
Yeah.
We see that as a hobby. To them, that's a job.
Yeah, their job is our hobby.
Right.
Or their job is our downtime.
Right. Like, I like playing Madden as a game where I need to, you know, burn an hour and I just want to pretend I'm good at football.
Yeah. Oh, my team just lost here. Let me put it on easy mode and put up 100 points on you.
Right. You know, I don't even play multiplayer. Like, I'm not good. And, you know, these guys have to go do that for real. And then it's like, all right, now we want to actually just relax. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine doing that now.
Oh God, just
the amount of not having downtime or free time. I mean, the miles you got to put up is probably fantastic,
You know, right.
You travel after you retire. You travel anywhere forever for free.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, just, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, hell, look at someone like Jason Kelce, who just retired. You know, he's got his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He's possibly going into broadcasting now.
Yeah, which, you know, makes sense.
Like,
I feel like a lot of the more popular guys, once they retire, roll into broadcasting because they have the charisma already. So it's like, yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Just checks out.
Yeah. And he's going to be the you know, brother-in-law to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Kind of awesome.
I just read a thing about him. He tricked his wife into Irish dancing while he chugged beers on St. Patrick's Day or something. I didn't get to look at it because I was working all day. I want to know how you trick someone into Irish dancing.
That tracks, honestly.
It tracks. I just don't know how he did it.
It's Jason Kelce. Mm. The man can literally do anything.
That's fair.
Seeing him at that Eagles parade in the Mummers uniform was the most amazing thing.
Apparently he was 30-something beers in.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, and I wasn't really that drunk.
Yeah, which is... like, bruh, goddamn. Like,
I was there in the crowd when someone threw a beer at him and he chugged it. Literally just someone goes, hey, catch! And he, dude, just chucks a beer and he just...
Amazing.
That was also the same night that Joel Embiid saw me in a very precarious position. Center for the Sixers. We got to Philly at like ass crack of dawn. Mm. And we're standing there waiting on the street. We're right up against the barrier, all that. We're at towards the end of the parade route, so we took a while.
Yeah.
Midway through, my stomach starts giving me the gurgles, and I'm like, oh fuck. All right, let me try to find a place. None of the buildings would let anyone in to use the bathroom or anything. So I go down this one, like, alleyway. And everyone's in there, you know, taking a leak, whatever. So I go, and I'm standing there in the corner and doing my thing. And I just hear, Joel Embiid! Hey, trust the process! I turn around, and there's Joel Embiid. We make eye contact, like, just in hand, midstream, and we just go, and just go right back to it. That night puts up like a triple double. The next night, double double, and everyone's like, "Bob, you are the reason he was inspired."
this is the only thing we can come up with.
So yeah, so Joel Embiid saw me in a very precarious position.
I see. Thankfully, I've never had to deal with that.
Honestly, on either end.
On either end, yeah. I've never had to. I usually get there before or after is where I have the weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So... you brought something.
I did.
Quite literally to the table tonight.
I technically built something.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works in the...
that counts.
The 3D printer space, but...
you made a thing.
I made a thing. It's this thing. So we talked about it last week. This is super shiny on camera. Holy shit. So...
it almost doesn't look real.
Yeah, it looks like you can't see through, but there's holes here. It is so shiny with all the light. So this is the thing I was telling you about last week with the flower, arrangement thingy. So this took 67 hours to print. It is, again, the longest print I've ever had to print. Every time I print one of these, I'm terrified for about 70 hours, because so many things could go wrong in 70 hours.
It's 3 days.
Yeah, it's 3 days. But this is a new filament I got because the bride wanted pearl. So I got silk pearl done. So It is very shiny. I don't think you could see. No, there's no good way to say it. There's like a slight geometric pattern. It's not perfectly round.
Yeah, each one of those ridges that you see on camera is like a little, how would you describe it? Like triangular?
Yeah, it's almost like a triangle, like a little rectangle, and then there's like a triangle in the rectangle. So it gives off like when the light reflects and hits it, you get like a multiple sheen. It's not just like sharp. Like it's a very smooth but still geometric pattern. It's pretty cool. Yeah, like a facet in a gem. I didn't plan to print it like that. In the model, it looks perfectly round. Mm-hmm. But I guess my 3D printer can't print perfectly round. So this is what it came up with. And,
honestly, that looks so cool.
I think I like this more. I showed my sister. She's like, honestly, I like that more than perfectly round. Which I kind of agree with. And then we sent the picture to the bride with the regular white, not the pearl. This is pearl. And she freaked out and she loved it. So I don't know that if my so sister cool. sent this one yet, the pearl one. But things I didn't know have changed in the 3D printer world is the top layer. My printer now irons. So it is very, very smooth to the touch. On the top layers, it looks like store-bought, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't feel or look like it was 3D printed on the top. Even the layer lines, which was shocking to me, because this is printed in 0.3 millimeter, which is like the fattest you could go. Because if I did the normal, so in printer world, 0.1 or 0.01 or whatever it is, gives you like good, clean quality results. Resin goes down to 0.05, which is where it's like even more, or 0.025 or something like that. 0.2 is what people do for like, drafting quality. Like, it's just, I need to do it faster, so it mm-hmm. literally double the thickness. 0.3 is like, I don't give a fuck, just send it, I need this done. And I thought, let's try 0.3 and see what happens. Because 0.2 was like 97 hours or something.
Jesus.
And 0.1 was like 170 something hours. I was like, I don't feel comfortable letting my printer run for 100-something hours, like almost 200 hours, if not more. It might have been like 230.
Something's catching on fire.
Yeah, I was like, I just don't trust it that long. I just...
Mm-hmm.
So this is 0.3. And as it printed, I was like, this doesn't look like 0.3. Like, you wouldn't see the layer lines. Like, no. They're there, kind of.
Like, you can kind of maybe see them if it catches light at a weird angle.
Yeah.
But
for the most part, and then I told my sister, I'm like, if you really wanted to, you probably could give this like a very light sanding and then put like a clear coat on it, and then you won't see the lines at all.
Yeah.
Because you're sanding the lines smooth. But I don't think you really need to. It kind of looks perfect as is. So this is going to be a centerpiece. Well, a tabletop trio thing is in the way. So here you go.
You can set it right there, yeah.
Centerpiece, and then the flowers are all going to be around the outside. I told her to just waterproof the inside so that you could put her water sponge stuff, mm-hmm. and then the flowers just get stuck in, and that's your centerpieces. So that's instead so of cool. like the traditional like vase in the middle with all the flowers, we're kind of going a weird different approach. But super happy with how this came out.
Yeah. Now, how much filament did you use for that?
So this one was a little more than half a roll, I believe.
Wow, okay.
So the roll I bought is 1 kilogram, which is small. Usually rolls are 2 kilograms. So this one was a 1 kilogram roll, and I think I used 0.8 kilograms or something like that.
Wow, all right.
So it is a little bit more expensive. It's like $15.99 per roll for the 1 kilogram. Normally, you could buy filament for like usually 20 or 25 bucks gets you 2 kilograms.
Okay.
But this is silk PLA. It's a special kind of thing. It's super shiny. It's named Pearl because it actually, again, I don't know if you'll see on camera, but in person, it looks like a pearl. Like it has that like yellow ivory kind of color.
Yeah. And it catches the light so well too.
It does. It catches the light really good. I'm surprised it came out that good. I really wasn't expecting it to. I thought it would come out okay. Mm-hmm. I thought there was going to be a lot of finishing work needed to, like, you know, sand it, clean it, polish it, put a clear coat on it. You figured, you know, 4 or 5 hours per whatever one I print.
Yeah.
Turns out not that bad. These are pretty much good to go. I think all you need to do is clear coat the inside so that you could, you know, hold water in it, because I found out that they're not exactly waterproof while printed. As I filled it in my sink and then noticed that the counter started getting wet quickly.
Oh my.
And I was like, oh, okay. Not waterproof.
So check. When you said it like ironed the bottom.
Yeah.
Did it literally just get extra hot and just kind of rub against the base?
So it doesn't get extra hot. I was watching it because I was really confused on how it works, because I've never seen it before, but it, I think what it does is it gets closer to the print, and as it prints, it actually basically just smooshes it down, and then...
Okay.
Because I didn't hear it. Usually if it's doing something like vibrating or something like that, you'll hear it like jiggling back and forth as it kind of does like micro movements, mm-hmm. but it didn't. So I don't exactly know. I couldn't get close enough because my hot end is like that big, but the thing that actually spits the filament out is like that big, so mm-hmm. you really can't see it unless you get like under it, but it was so close to the print that I couldn't see in between to see what it was doing. But it was an interesting, I was like, why is it taking so long? Realistically, I've done these things in the past, like not this size, but it should go pretty quick. It should just kind of like spit it out and be done with it. And then I realized that when it got to the top, like the top of the bottom over here and then the top of the top over here, it slows down.
Okay.
So it took like the first, whatever, 20 layers or whatever is over here, took like 10 hours, wasn't even that bad. And I was like, all right, that's pretty quick. And then to do the next 3 layers for the, so it does one, then one in the opposite direction, and then one in the opposite direction, you're done. Now we're moving on. So I set it to 3 layers. You could modify that. 3 is kind of the general rule of thumb. So when I set it to that, it took another 20 hours just to do 3 layers. But when you feel it, it feels smooth.
That was what was so crazy. Because, like, you know, I've felt 3D printed things.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never been, like, that smooth.
Yeah, I was just as shocked as you. like I said before, I've been out of the 3D printing community for a while, at least when it comes to, like, you know, regular printers like these. I've been doing resin printing, which has no layer lines because it's resin and it's so small that you can't see the layers. I didn't realize how good the software has become,
mm-hmm.
because my printer is my printer. There's no firmware updates for it. It's the same printer I've had since 2018, 2019. That's just been my printer.
Yeah.
It might even be older. So the fact that, like,
plug and play kind of thing.
The fact that the software changed this and, like, put new features that is just in the software, which everyone needs, because the software is what makes it so that the printer could print the thing. It's just a bunch of numbers. The software just converts the picture you see into a bunch of numbers that the printer could read. That's all it does. But the fact that it has put so much software in that has changed and made these work like this was shocking to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, I could print something this, what would have, I thought would have been like an ugly, eh. And then it's done and I'm like, holy shit.
It's beautiful.
I thought this was going to look like ass.
Right.
So, yay.
Yeah.
So it makes me really excited for the other thing to come that it, that basically replaces a bunch of the brains of my 3D printer, which lets me do like the multicolor and whenever that shows up,
I am now printer like, smart.
Yeah. Well, I could put a camera on it so that if it fails, I could like look at it from here while it's printing and like, you know, I could be at work and just check the print and see what's going on.
So the Tabletop Trio live stream.
Yes. Yes. You could 100% do that. It'll be a camera.
Well, tune in printing. Next time for the Tabletop Trio 3D printing stream.
It'll be on whenever I need to print a thing. So, but, you know, I'm looking forward to that. Replacing the brain, getting something newer, being able to do four colors at the same time, which is kind of neat.
Oh, that's awesome.
I could add more if I needed to in the future. We can go, I think this one does up to 7. I would just need to buy the extra whatever's to add the colors. But I'm just super excited that, like, the quality has gone like this. Last time I tried to print, I couldn't get anywhere near this quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was printing at, like I said, 0.1. I was trying to get the good quality. And I couldn't.
Yeah.
And now I'm printing at like above draft, like shit speeds. And it's amazing.
That's so cool.
So it's exciting. I love the 3D printing. I do actually have one of the things I have for my 3D printing is I have a problem. The problem is there's too many people who are good at modeling, making models. And I want to back all of them and support them because I want the models, but also there's no way in hell I could print all of these models. I would need a farm. I would need dozens upon dozens of printers and then no job because I would need to sit here and just start prints all day long to try to come up with how many that I have now. I don't know what to do about it. And I feel like I can't be the only one with this problem. It's like I back Loot Studios. They release like 40 or 50 models a month. And they're all phenomenal because they do everything with like scenes, like sets. Mm-hmm. So they'll release that. And then there's the random people who will release 3 or 4 of these. And then they did like a mega Kickstarter thing where they released like 11,000 models for when they did the Ukraine support. So I got like, here's a bajillion models. They all look phenomenal. And I'm like, I can't print this many. And then I did the props one.
Mm-hmm.
They made a props 3D thing where you could literally print props, rings, like all like the fancy rings, the bottles, the this, puzzles, all this shit was all... You could 3D print daggers, bone stuff, all. I'm like, I don't have the time.
But I need to print all of these things.
I don't have the time. I don't know what I would do with these. I don't want to lose them.
Well, I remember you also started that DM screen project.
Yep. The reason that stopped was because the printer started bugging out a little bit. and again.
The printer's like, nah, I'm done. There's too much.
And again, I couldn't get the quality right. I was trying to get it be a good quality, and it looked nothing like this.
So maybe it's been updated.
So I think I have to try again and see where we're at.
Oh, no. Joe's found a new old newest obsession.
Yeah, it's a new old new obsession. There's a lot of those on the list. Speaking of, I got my wife addicted to magic. And it's not good.
Now, all I'm picturing her is in, like, tuxedo with the gloves and... Yeah, you know, top hat, bing, bunny. Like,
are you ready for bed? Oh, you just have something in the. Oh.
Wait, come here. What's this? Got a quarter.
Oh. Are you ready for bed? Let me just pull the sheets down. And here's a rabbit. Like, why was it in the bed? How is it in the bed? Like, it's the card game.
Steps out of the bathroom. Ta-da!
But where did the confetti come from?
That's the illusion. A good magician never tells their secrets.
Oh, God.
Well, I think I found one of the clips for social media there.
No, Bob. Not that magic. Oh, God. Are you ready for your eggs for breakfast? It's a ball.
A whole chicken comes out. Oh, look, it's fresh.
Wow.
No, but really, where's my avocado toast?
Here's your avocado. How?
Did no one tell you to chew your food?
No.
Oh, no.
No. Now watch as I eat this hot sauce with my eye. Oh, God.
Comes out of a tube and a sleeve.
Was this your card? I didn't know we were playing. But yes.
Stop with the magic tricks.
I just want to eat. I just want to use my fork to eat. Why is the fork not bendy?
Here, I made bread, rabbit.
Here's your spoon. Or is it a straw?
Joke's on you. It's a spork.
Oh, God. No. We've gone too far.
I feel like there's a skit somewhere where, like, oh, yeah, how's your new roommate?
Well. He's great, except he makes all the dishes disappear. And there's just a cut of him throwing the dishes, like, out the window.
Ta-da!
Oh, God.
My roommate, the great Garbanzo.
The great Garbaggio. There you go. That's a... Make my garbage disappear. That's what I need in my life. But, yeah, no, I got her addicted to the good old magic card game. We went Friday with a couple friends that were playing, and they wanted me to go, and I played, you know, I just started getting back into it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, do you want to come? You know, it could be fun. I know we've been talking about playing Magic forever, but you haven't ever actually played, so... I was like, yeah, you know what? Why not? Let's try it. There's a new game store that opened up by me. Well, it's been open for a while, but it's clean, which is like 90% gets me in the door.
Yeah.
And it smells good, which is like the other 10%. And the people are really nice. So it's like, you know, all in all good. And she started playing, and then she's like, yeah, this is fun. I like this. I get why you guys like this. And then... After we were done playing the next day, she's like, so when do we play Magic again? I was like, I don't know when people play Magic again. And then yesterday, I think, she sent a message in the group chat that we're in with those people and was like, I understand this now. And it was like a Magic meme joke. And I was like, oh, God.
I've created a monster.
What have I done? So, like, on the one hand, I'm excited because it's fun, but on the other hand, I don't think I'm financially prepared for this.
No. That's why I'm so glad I never got into those, like, the trading card games.
Yeah. So, well, we had, I got her, like, one of the pre-constructed, like, you know, $50, here it is in the box. And when I played, those things used to suck. They were, okay, But like, if anybody had like a real deck that they built, you're not going to keep up. Not anymore. That fucking thing was scary. I was not prepared for how good pre-constructed decks were these days, especially in a multiplayer where anything could happen, because, you know, politics are real. You'd be like, why are you going to attack me? He's a piece of shit. Attack him. You're like, yeah, you're right. He is a piece of shit. We should attack him. And then the next turn is like, I win! But, yeah, no, it's she was having fun, which is, you know,
it's the goal.
But there's, like, enough brain stimulation because there's so many things you could do and so many things you have to plan for that she got in the zone. And I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. And then it was two friends that were playing who played for the first time ever. And then two people who are like, I've played for a while, but I'm still kind of new. And then like a veteran who has like, I don't know how many dozens of decks. And his friend knocked him out. And then Elena knocked me out. So we had to watch the two beginners like battle each other out for like the first win. And I was like, what the fuck happened? I played my deck like super slow, not going to go crazy. Didn't think anything bad was going to happen. Thought we were just going to have fun here and not be competitive. The fuck happened? I'm out here fighting for my life.
Oh my God. Yes.
So I wasn't ready. But everyone had a good time. It was a lot of fun. So now I'm like, yes.
I've created another monster.
Now we don't need to get rid of those things in the basement.
You know, you don't want to throw these out.
Now they could be yours.
My mess? Our mess.
So now I'm like, okay, now I just need to get everyone else back into Magic. The plan slowly works. But I don't know. I'm in a love-hate relationship with them right now.
Really?
Well, love Magic, but Hasbro is really just fucking trying to go in just dry to all of their customers. Did you know? I read this today. Monopoly Go, the Android game.
I saw that.
Spent more money in advertising than Sony did to develop the entire game for Spider-Man 2. That is mind-blowing numbers. Was it 50 million? 50-something million?
Something like that, yeah.
In ad campaign.
And the thing that gets me on that is I saw a couple comments. I think I saw like the post about it on Reddit. It's literally just a tap game.
Yeah.
Where there's no game. No, there's no gameplay or anything like that. It's just tap, tap, tap. Every now and then some money goes across the screen. You're like, ooh, I just got this. Tap, tap, tap. Ooh, I just got this. Oh, I have to watch an ad.
Yeah, and then you go to the next.
Okay, cool. I watch my ad. Tap, tap, tap. Ooh, I got some money.
You roll dice to walk around the board to collect money to buy properties. And then when you're done, you get to go to the next board and then do it again. And when you run out of rolls, you could buy them for money. You get X amount of dice for free a day, and then whatever. It's literally just a click, 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 click game. Click, click, and then move to the next. There's no actual gameplay.
Yeah.
If they took like the worst part of Monopoly and made that the game. And somehow... it is collecting shit tons of money.
Right.
But I don't know. It's wild that they've spent that much in advertising. So, and that's Hasbro. And, you know, they are, not that they're a sinking ship, but they are doing terrible. And Wizards is doing good, but Hasbro owns Wizards. So they are pumping. So Magic used to release like 3 sets a year. That was great. Things to look forward to.
Yeah.
They are releasing 5 sets in the next 4 months.
I saw they're coming out with a Fallout one.
Yeah, well,
which admittedly is kind
of
cool.
So they did Lord of the Rings, which sold astronomical, so now they're doing another one. Then they did a Doctor Who set. Then they did...
At least they know their target audience.
No, this is all crossovers now. They did a Street Fighter one because they're doing like the Secret Layers or whatever. Because people used to make alt arts of their own, like, you know, drawing or whatever. And then they were like, well, what if we just did that for you?
Yeah.
And also...
then you could pay us more money.
Yeah, and then pay us more because you're going to pay us $40 for 10 cards instead of $3 for 15 cards. That could be anything. You're going to get the ones you know you're going to get, but they're $40. Like, holy, that's what shit. They're doing.
And, that's insane.
And people are buying it. And then the prices of regular packs are going up now. And, like, now there's two different types of packs. So now there's normal boosters, then there's draft boosters, then there's collector's boosters. This is all for the same one set. Three different... It's like... And then they're expensive. Like, the normal packs that everyone used to buy... are now $170 a box.
I'm looking at this right now. There is a, on Amazon, Magic the Gathering Fallout Commander deck bundle. Mm-hmm. All four decks, mm-hmm. $183.
Yeah, that's for the decks. So that's not even like the set. Those are just the decks.
Yeah.
Pre-constructed. Each one of those has 100 cards. And of those 100 cards... about 30 in each one will be lands, which are absolutely worthless.
Yeah.
So you're out of your 400 cards, 120 of them are garbage.
Jeez.
So, but like the regular booster packs, like the collector's editions are like $400 now.
Yeah.
For a box of 24 packs that you could open stuff in.
Oh, my God.
The regular ones are, like, close to $200 now, $180, $200.
Yeah.
It used to be, like, $90 got you a box of 36 packs. And you would open it and get what you get. And now, not the case. Now there's, like, certain this and certain that. And it's, like, just, why do you have to ruin everything because you need more money?
Yeah. Like, I'm looking, when I was a kid, I used to collect Pokemon cards. Mm-hmm. And I'm very close to having all of the original, like, first edition kind of cards, like OG, 1990s, 2000 kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just looked up, recently Pokemon released the Scarlet and Violet 151,
yep.
or 151, which is, like, the OG Pokemon, but, like, new current print kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The box for that is currently on Amazon for $103, which... honestly, not a bad price. I mean, because how many cards do you get in this? It's the ultra premium
51.
It's the ultra premium collection.
Yeah,
doesn't say how many cards you get, but like,
yeah,
$103.
But you got to remember, it's $103 for 151 cards. That in today's Pokemon is basically unplayable.
Yeah,
because power creep is real.
Yeah,
and.
It's 16 booster packs.
Oh, so it's packs.
Yeah. 16 booster packs. One full art foil promo card. A playmat. Etched metal card. A metallic coin. A deck box. Two plastic condition markers. Six damage dice. And an etched foil promo card.
Mm. So you don't even know what you're not getting 151... in the set, you're not getting, like, a complete set.
No.
You're just opening up OG Pokemon cards again to try to get a set again, except today's value is not going to be the same as the original.
Yep. Because they're the current cards and not the early OG, like...
Right. There's no fat Pikachu.
Yeah.
What did you do to Pikachu?
Put that fucker on a diet. I hate it.
Yeah.
I like
Tony. Give me Chunky Chew.
I like Chonk Chew. So, yeah, I don't know. They're like ruining all of the new cards that are coming out, and the power creep is just insane. They're things that are coming out immediately broken. Like a new card just released, and everyone in the chat's like, well, that's broken. It literally breaks itself. That's going to get banned in, like, the first hour of gameplay.
yeah, one pro is going to have it and just be like...
It, They're like, I don't even think that's going to see tournament play. I think it's going to get banned on release. Like, it's that crazy. And then the other side of Wizards is D&D. And they're pushing, we need more content on D&D. We want more books. We want this. Now they're saying AI, we're not going to AI generate anything for Dungeons & Dragons. But Dungeons & Dragons has a 50-year history that AI could mine for, like, data building, like, you know, to, like, learn.
Like, world building and that kind of like, thing.
Yeah, whatever building. So they're like, you know, AI won't create new stories, but it can read and learn the 50 years worth of magic. And remember, whenever someone releases a mod or a special thing for magic or for Dungeons & Dragons, they get access to that because it's under their whatever. Mm-hmm. So they could use that information.
Yep.
And it's like, God, I hate that. I hate everything. And it sucks because Wizards doesn't, well, I would hope that Wizards doesn't want to be like this, but mm-hmm. corporate overlords be corporate overlords. And I don't know. It's just shitty watching things you enjoy just be just punched into the ground because money. Because I think they're losing. Hasbro is losing a shitload of money. I think they dropped like 60% or something. The only thing holding them up is at this point Wizards.
Gotta love that acquisition.
Yeah. Well, I think a big part of that is the board game resurgence. But
yeah,
it's good board games. Like you got some of the ones behind me and in the case over there, which I don't think you could see. A lot of new board games are coming out, but they're good board games.
Yep.
No one wants to play Monopoly anymore.
No.
Or the Game of Life. Like we're not playing the old, all things considered, boring board games.
Yeah.
There are new, interesting, different board games that are out.
Story-driven games.
Yeah.
You know, party, fun games like that. Like, sure, Monopoly and all that have its place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're getting together with friends, you want to have a good time, sure, there are the Scrabbles and that kind of stuff. But there's also games, you know, like the Trolley Problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fire Tower, Sagrada, Flamecraft, like, all of the, and I'm not saying that they're coming from like indie developers, but like.
Yeah, they're not Hasbro.
Yeah.
And the big thing to me is, realistically speaking here, how many fucking games of Monopoly can you actually sell?
Yeah.
I know they make a new Monopoly, like, it's got to be weekly at this point.
I went to a, there's a brand called Go Games and Toys.
Mm-hmm.
I went there a couple weeks ago. They have an entire section, like a quarter of their store, dedicated to different random versions of Monopoly.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I get it. If you are a fan of a certain fandom and you want to play Monopoly,
mm-hmm.
you'll have that. Like growing up, I had a NASCAR Monopoly.
Mm.
You know, and I've had the electronic Monopoly and like that kind of thing. But
yeah. I have two or three versions.
No one ever plays it the right way either.
I think I have the credit card one because I thought that was actually interesting.
Yeah.
And then I have Monopoly 2000.
Oh.
And it came in a fucking silver tin and the dice were crazy as all hell. I wonder if I could find them because I've never seen those dice outside of Monopoly 2000. But it was like a Millennium Edition. The board was like foiled like a fucking playing card.
I've seen that. I feel like I either had it or a friend of mine had it.
Yeah, it was.
It was either like gold or silver foiled.
Yeah, it was silver foiled.
Yes.
I'm trying to see if I can find the dice. I was going to say, I wonder if it's worth anything, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, really?
Let's see if I can find the dice. Apparently the dice come up separate. People are looking for the dice. Oh, here they are. These fucking orange things. So they were D6.
Oh, those are funky.
Yeah. So they were...
they're almost like big toe shaped.
They're triangles. So each face is a triangle for the six-sided, and it's a little flat, and then, you know, like a cylinder-shaped. So the top and the bottom can't actually land on the top or the bottom. And then there's six triangles that make up the dice face. Very interesting at the time, and even still, I've never seen a D6 like that again.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing. I have that one, because again, at the time, it was like, wow, the Millennium Edition. How crazy and new is this Monopoly? But, you know, like, the D&D one came out, and I was like, it's kind of cool to have D&D Monopoly, but also, I know I'm not playing that Monopoly.
No, God, no.
So,
one of my favorite Hasbro games is a game called Mall Madness.
Mm.
My girlfriend showed it to me. And at first I'm like, all right, like this will be fun, but like, I'm not expecting it to be like a ton of like, oh my God, this is the best game. It is genuinely so much fun. And it's such a cool concept because it's like a mall layout and there's plastic like raised sections as well. And you go around the board and you have a shopping list for your character and you have to go to certain stores. So like you hit the button, it tells you, okay, red, move four places, and it like talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you move your spot. If you get to the store, you push the button, or it'll be like, are you at a store? You know, click for yes. Sorry, we're closed. Come back later.
God damn.
And you're just like, oh, fuck. Or you go in, you hit it, said, oh, you know, there's a sale at this store. So the first person to get to that store actually gets a discount, so you get some money back, which means like you have better points. It is so much fun. And then they came out with a Mall Madness, like, today edition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, like, credit cards that you could, like, swipe and put in the slot. And, oh, sorry, you know, credit card machine's down. Come back later. Mm. So you'll lose your turn. Meanwhile, all the other shoppers are going to their stores and all that kind of stuff, and you're just kind of sitting there. It is genuinely one of the most fun board games. Just because it's such a different concept. There's no rolling dice or anything like that. It's just whatever, you know, random number, RG, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
In the little base button thing. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's such a simple concept. And the goal is to buy everything on your list and leave the store. The first person to leave the mall wins.
Fantastic. I like that. That's the thing I think is the issue is a lot of the older games that like we grew up on are like the ones that take for fucking ever to put together and have like all the million pieces.
Looking at you, Mousetrap. I've never played Mousetrap. I had it and I built it.
I've never played Mousetrap correctly. There is one that I wanted to buy. I saw a review on it. It was like Tornado Alley or Twister Alley or something like that. And like basically you have to climb up a plastic mountain, but at any given time the fucking tornado thing could just wreak havoc and fall down the mountain and just launch pieces off the board. And I was like, that looks like a lot of fucking fun. I want one. It's like $300 because they don't make it anymore. And I was like, Why? Out of all the, we got 9 million versions of fucking Monopoly. We've got 37,000 versions of Life. Why can't we make the old fun ones again now? Like, there's gotta be, you know, like how have they not made Battleship better yet?
Right?
Like, with fucking LCDs and shit, you know, like, give me something.
Was this the game? Because you can get it on eBay.
No, not that one. It was okay. It was different. It was bigger. It was way bigger. I'll see if I can find it. But, like, oh, it just gave me an idea. Not a safe idea.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's always terrifying when it comes from you.
Yeah. I was just thinking Battleship and then how to make it more realistic and then, like, how to make it actually sweat-inducing where, like, you don't want to get hit. And then my thought process was, like, you just hook an armband or a neckband taser up to the board. And then if the other person hits one of your pieces, guess who's getting buzzed?
I was going to say black powder. You put all little electric charges on the bottom, so when it hits, just goes,
fireworks. Nope, I was thinking electrocution.
Either way.
My brain went electrocution.
Well, on that note. Oh, my God.
We used to have those as kids. Well, I guess teenagers. I don't know if you remember Hot Topic and all them. They used to have laser tag.
Oh, yeah.
And the laser tag handles were metal. And if you got hit, you got shocked.
Oh, you knew.
You knew. And we used to wrap it with foil and bring it up our arms so that when we got shocked, we got all the way shocked. And then I started modifying it. So instead of using the double A's, it would use like 9 volts and all this other stuff.
God.
To crank the power. I was
troubled.
Yeah. Teen me was, let's make it real.
Oh my God. I don't even know how to follow that up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's whatever.
But yeah, I feel like it's a pretty good jumping off point for tonight, mm-hmm. unless you had anything else.
Plenty, but that's for next week.
Oh yeah. We should, we'll definitely have some more things to chat about for next week. We're already almost 2 hours into this, so.
Yeah.
As always, make sure you check out our website, tabletoptrio.com, all the social medias, all that fun stuff. If you are a podcast listener, thank you. We go live on Twitch every Wednesday, for the most part, at 8 o'clock Eastern. Or if you're a Twitch viewer, you could listen to the podcast wherever you find podcasts. Just search for Tabletop Trio or just go to our website. It'll be up there. We'll be back next week. Have a lot more to talk about. Boston Sauce Party coming up at the end of April. If you're going, get your tickets. They will sell out. So make sure you get your tickets early so you can go hang out for the podcast festival. Try all of the best sauces of the Northeast and New England.
So good.
I am so excited. You have no idea. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. So for one final time, I'm Bob.
I'm Joe.
This has been Tabletop Trio Podcast. Have a great night.
Bye.